the OTB Podcast Network.
Well, Vinny, Manchester United got the job done in the end, a 3-1 win. Sort of sums up the Manchester United of recent weeks, though. Very slow start again, and Burnley will feel quite hard done by.
Yeah, I think Burnley were very good. They caused United a lot of problems. I think what we're seeing from Manchester United, same in the Spurs game last week, where they were really poor for 45 minutes and they turned it on. You have to have question marks about this Manchester United team. They've made a lot of big steps forward under Solskjaer, to be fair, and the results are outstanding. They're comfortably in second place, but I think ultimately they're short of at the highest level. They need a centre forward in quickly, need a centre half in quickly, because I would say heading into next season, no matter where Liverpool, Chelsea finish up this year, I think they're closer to win the league title than this Manchester United team.
If you go from the back then, 15 seconds in, Burnley are nearly in front. Dean Henderson is in no man's land. Chris Wood is inches offside. There was another situation in the second half as well where Dean Henderson, it was kamikaze goalkeeping, made a big mistake. Is that an area of real concern now? Because they thought that Henderson maybe was going to come in and be the long-term replacement for De Gea.
Yeah, I suppose, to be fair to Henderson, he's had a bad day today. He's done quite well when he's got his chance. There's no doubt Solskjaer has run out of patience with De Gea because it looks like Henderson now is the number one. Maybe that door will open again after today's performance, but you're going to expect the odd mistake from your goalkeeper. That comes and goes. Thankfully, it didn't cost him today. He'll probably give him another chance. But when you add all of these things into the mix, I think you've got to look at this squad and say there's a serious rebuild needed. And the one thing he would have said is we've got De Gea, we've got Henderson, we should be okay in midfield. And now there is definitely a question mark over that position. And it's another one that will be of concern for them.
It was another uncomfortable day for Harry Maguire at centre-back as well. Chris Wood was brilliant. He was one up front. He played like there was two men up front. Maguire and his long-term future, I know Damien Delaney, when he's on, feels that even though they spent so much money on him, that actually Maguire needs to be replaced. Well, what are your thoughts on Maguire?
Yeah, I think the difference is his partner's not good enough. I'm somewhere in Damien's camp and a little bit saying maybe he just needs to play with someone a little bit better. Lindelof was awful today at times. Some of his defending wasn't good enough. But then Maguire's got to look in the mirror. So-called world class. He's going to lead the line for England in terms of from a defensive point of view in the summer if they're going to win a major championship. And he was given a specific job to do today. It's centre the goal from corners, mark nobody and head the ball away. And it just isn't good enough, and that costs you. So I've real concerns at times about Maguire. I think he's lax, but until United have a proper partner beside him, you're not going to see the true value of him. So as much as I take Damien's point, I think I'd rather replace Lindelof than Maguire at the moment. That's a bigger issue.
As you move into midfield then, it was clear within 5 minutes of the game starting that United didn't need Fred and McTominay. They'd 80% possession. Yeah. Why did he go with the two of them, though, at home against the Burnley side, who you know are going to sit back? Everyone knows what Burnley are generally all about. Why is it that he still feels the need to play both Fred and McTominay?
I suppose he may have felt Burnley for the first time all year so un-Sean Dyche, like played 4-5-1 instead of 4-4-2. So he may have been outdone by that. But at the same time, you would expect Solskjaer to play that 4-2-3-1 formation. That's his go-to a lot of the times. I think if you don't play it, you're vulnerable to a counter-attack. They're not good enough defensively not to have two defensive-minded midfielders in there. So ultimately, they're paying the price for that. They put Paul Pogba in there in the second half. And even at times, Burnley were able to counter-attack and run straight through the middle of them. I think Pogba and McTominay are good enough to play together instead of Fred. But the manager obviously is concerned from a defensive point of view, and that's why he makes that decision. I could partially understand it, but people will say, why aren't Manchester United at home playing a 4-3-3 system good enough to play against Burnley with one in front of the back four? I can understand why he done it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, and because of that there's a knock-on effect further up the pitch.
It's very hard to be critical of Bruno Fernandes considering what he's done over the last 15 months for Manchester United, but is he having his first dip at the moment?
Yeah, I don't think his form has been that good lately. He looks a frustrated guy. You see him, a lot of petulance on the pitch. Wasn't so much today. We've seen in the Spurs game last week, throwing his arms up, fighting with referees, complaining with his own players, and he has that, and you don't mind that from a Flair player like that, but I don't think his form has been that good. But we're still seeing flashes of brilliance from him. Some of his passing every so often has been brilliant. His step over for the goal today was outstanding. So he's somewhere in the middle. He's someone that United need him at his very best. Again, I think he would benefit from a real target centre forward man, someone that can lead the line for them, because it'll create a little bit more space for him in front of the back four.
Well, if he's having a little bit of a dip, Mason Greenwood is entering his best form of the season. He's 4 goals now in his last 3 games. A little bit of luck for the second one, but he was in the right place at the right time for the first goal. He's incredibly highly rated. People talk about his quality of finishing. What do you think of Greenwood, and what do you think his potential is?
I think he can be a number 9 in time. I think he's too young to lead the line for Manchester United. But I think coming off the right, he looks like a real natural finisher, more than most players. And we don't see that often. Like you remember back to people like Michael Owen or Robbie Fowler. They were just natural finishers. Ruud van Nistelrooy. He's not in that category yet. But at the same time, he looks like he can go there. The challenge he has is he had better run of goals last year, as had Martial and Rashford, because a lot of their play or a lot of their front players are suited to a counter-attack style. And now that they have more of the ball and they're certainly more dominant, they found space a little bit harder to come by. So his goals dried up, but he's in a good vein of form. I think when Cavani plays, they seem to have a good relationship, and I think he is a real good relationship with Fernandes. I think he looks up to him. Even, as I said, the step over from Fernandes today was brilliant. They seem to be on the same wavelength, and he's a star for the future. I think United need to rebuild their squad or sort of give it an injection. And there was a lot of talk of spending close to 100 million on Sanchez last year from
Borussia Dortmund.
I don't think they need to do that with the likes of Greenwood and James as backup. I think they need to spend the money elsewhere. So that's where he's been a real positive for that club.
So where are they then? Because they're second in the league. They're the closest challengers to Manchester City. Maybe they can continue this winning run and get a bit closer between now and the end of the season. They're going to be back playing Champions League football next year. Yet we've just gone through several areas of the pitch where it doesn't seem to be happening. But again, they scored late goals. Like, they consistently this season have shown character to come from behind, to when games are tied at the end, they go and they grind it out. So there are still positives there for Solskjaer.
Yeah, there is. And he's done I think last year he'd done an amazing job grabbing that group and bringing them into the Champions League, being in that spot. And this year they're comfortably second. Comfortably. But you would feel that other clubs like Liverpool are closer to winning the league if Liverpool get back to their best. I think the Chelsea team at their very best looked better than United at times. They've been too inconsistent. I think Tuchel will take them to the next level. So Manchester United are a big, big transfer window ahead of them. And that's where it's crucial. And if they are the biggest club in the world, which we all think they are, then they've got to play on Solskjaer's relationship with Haaland, for argument's sake. They had time around the mould. They've got to bring someone like that into the club. If it cost them 100, 150 million, Harry Kane, Mbappe or Haaland come available this year, then Manchester United have to be there and looking for that type of player. They're that big of a club. They can afford it like no one else can. Obviously there's other clubs with big money, but they're on a sound footing, and they need to push the boat out that highly to get to the next stage, because they've made loads of big steps, and the biggest step now is ahead of them, and that's this next transfer window.
Today's games have been overshadowed by the news around the European Super League, and this was always going to be a big few days. UEFA are due to announce a revamped Champions League tomorrow, which would have given the big clubs more power, more guarantees. This is a step on again. 12 teams, 6 of them English, including Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham. Even in them, maybe 2 teams who aren't consistently even qualifying for the Champions League. It would guarantee them a spot every year. It feels as though we are, whether this is the final model, but it feels as though we're heading for a seismic shift in European football. And one, it feels that supporters definitely don't want.
I don't know whether supporters don't want it or not. Like, yes, you're diehard. If there was 70, 80,000 people in Old Trafford today, pre-COVID, if you surveyed them, I'd say they don't want it, okay? But Manchester United isn't only followed by 70, 80 million people all over the world. Mm. So if you ask people, would you pay to watch Manchester United against Burnley on Manchester United against Paris Saint-Germain, against Liverpool, against Real Madrid, Barcelona, vast majority would pick the bigger game, obviously. So I don't want it to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it's good for world football. I think, you know, particularly in Europe, I think the league structure is very strong. Spain, Germany, Italy and England. I don't think they need to break that up. But demand, TV money, money in clubs, who owns these clubs now, is dictating what finance and what it's all about. So I think it's a discussion. Hope it doesn't happen. But to play devil's advocate, as I said, would you pay a tenner to watch Burnley or a tenner to watch Paris Saint-Germain if you're a United fan? And that's going to be the big question.
American owners, eh? The driving force behind this. You have your own experience of American owners with Dundalk.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's been another interesting week. Shane Keegan and Filippo Giovagnoli leaving the club. From the outside, it feels like it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I understand it looks like it's a bit of a mess, and I get that, okay? Look, results on the pitch haven't been good enough, and ultimately, I think if results on the pitch were good enough, we wouldn't be having the same discussions about the ownership, about the structures in the club, all of that stuff. So I think they're two separate issues. I think it's good we have owners in the club from America. I think they're good people. I think their heart's in the right place. Do I think they've made a mistake? Yes, absolutely. And I've told them that. I have a good relationship with them. I've told them at different stages where I felt he went wrong. Not that I'm right. I don't know all the answers to run the club. But they're good people. Anyone that puts anywhere between €1 million, €1.5 million euro out of their own pocket into a League of Ireland club should be welcomed. And it's not being thrown at silly projects. It's being put in for the right reasons. Have they made mistakes? Yes. But ultimately, the management there have resigned. I think both of them have resigned. Technically, I don't know the whole ins and outs of it. We don't know. The truth is always in these cases, I've experienced it myself, somewhere in the middle. They've left. Results aren't good enough. But the Dundalk project, I don't think it's over yet. I genuinely believe that Dundalk as a squad is as good as any other squad, and they can still win the league this year. People will think I'm crazy for saying that. I think that squad can win the league this year. So it needs to turn very quickly for them. But I think they're more than capable as a club.
Would you go back?
I've certainly unfinished business in football in League of Ireland. Definitely have unfinished business up in Dundalk. It was a huge part of my life for 8 years.
You are still close to the owner from...
Yeah, I would still have a good relationship with the owners despite what people like to suggest and different things. Listen, for eight years, and my wife even knows this, the last thing I ever thought about going to bed was Dundalk. The first thing I thought about was Dundalk. So it's a huge part of my life. I feel I've unfinished business there. But football is a strange world. Who wouldn't want to manage a team that's capable of winning the league? Who wouldn't? So, long-winded way of saying...
Have you told the owner that?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoke to him in a couple of weeks. So it's not my place. It's if they rang me, I'd certainly discuss it with them. But I'm sure people would say this old lazy comment of who in the right mind would go into that club is just nonsense.
Well, that comment is there because of how you left the club and a feeling that there was outside interference into team selection, into signings, that the manager didn't have the final say, that the American owners, for all the good they're doing in investment, that actually they wanted a bit more than just investing. They wanted the control of the actual first team.
Yeah, well, that's not true. They didn't want control of the first team. People have their own opinions of what happened. Only really me and the owner himself or the chairman have understand what was going on between our relationship. It's modern day football now. People invest in clubs. They put the money in, they own the club, and they feel they have a certain say to a point. And once that doesn't cross the line, it's fine. Listen, anyone in the right mind in Irish football would be interested in Dundalk Football Club. And it's a nonsense comment in the sense of people say you'd be mad to go into that club. No, you wouldn't. You're going into a club capable of winning the league title and being very strong in Europe this year. What manager in the right mind or coach wouldn't be interested in that? Almost all of them in this country. So it's a no-brainer for people. There will be huge interest in that club. the CVs will arrive in the door this week, a couple of hundred, and I'm no doubt about that.
It's interesting, like, that you wouldn't be against going back, or you'd be open to a conversation, because a lot of people in your position might be quite bitter about how it's gone from what Stephen Kenny and yourself built up over a number of years, the way it ended. A manager comes in completely out of the blue from America. It doesn't improve. I know they had the Europa League one, but results don't improve. From the outside, perceptions aren't good. That I'm surprised you're not more bitter in a way about how it's gone over the last year.
Yeah, I'm not bitter. Like, I care about the club, and I care about any club. I've only ever had a couple of clubs, like Longford Town, at eight and a half years as a player. You know, anyone that knows me knows that I will die for the club I work in, whether if I... And it would hurt a few Rovers fans to hear this. If I took over Shamrock Rovers tomorrow, I'd do everything in my power for that club. So that's me as a person. There was a joke made about a tea lady could pick the team up in Dundalk. And I understand it. But, like, that nearly hurt me because I know the tea lady up there. Yvonne Wearing is one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. But the point about that is there's real people in that club who are hurting. Hurting because of the results, hurting because of the negativity around the club. As I said, the owners of the club made mistakes, no doubt about it. But there's some great people in that football club. There's great people in Irish football. So I care deeply about it. Listen, I'm not saying I would go back tomorrow. It would have to be a long conversation. And there's absolutely no reason for them to ring me either as it currently stands. So, but anyone in the right mind would be interested. If you're out of work, which I am, interested in one of, if not the best clubs or opportunities in Irish football, of course I'd be interested in it.
And by the sounds of what you're saying, whoever does go in, you feel actually does have a squad there that can turn it around.
Yeah, I've watched every League of Ireland game this year. Without doubt, I've watched everyone because the new streaming service is very good. It has its glitches, etc., etc. But I think from a standard of the Dundalk squad, they're capable of winning the league this year. Yes, they're making it difficult for themselves in terms of, but fine margins. They could have easily beat Pats 2-1, two balls cleared off the line. Stonewall penalty given that wasn't given the week before. It's fine margins in football. Little moments, little things need to go their way, but they're not far off it. They've got people more than capable of winning that league and that club. And it's a healthy proposition. Someone's going to get a very lucky job on their hands, and I think Dundalk can be there or thereabouts.
Good stuff as always, Vinny.
Cheers, thank you.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.